instead of shooting one, they're showing it to us. And they're basically telling us what they intend on doing.
A new North Korea missile. It's Tuesday, January 19th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Find us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, Uyghurs under new threat, Pakistan tests a vaccine, Turkey tested by migrants, immigrants react to capital siege, a special singing quartet. It's all on today's VOA Asia. North Korea has unveiled what it says is a new submarine-launched ballistic missile. It is the latest apparent development in North Korea's fast-advancing weapons program, as VOA's Bill Gallo tells us from Seoul.
Wearing a shiny black leather jacket and fur hat, North Korean leader Kim Jong-un presided over another military parade in Pyongyang. It's North Korea's second parade in 3 months. This time, the North unveiled what their officials say is a new submarine-launched ballistic missile, or SLBM. SLBMs add an unpredictable component to North Korea's arsenal. They are mobile, potentially increasing the range of North Korea's ballistic missile arsenal. They are also easier to hide. The newest missile has not been tested, but retired South Korean Lieutenant General Chun In-bum warns that could soon change.
Instead of shooting one, they're showing it to us, and they're basically telling us what they intend on doing. And so the next obvious step would be to demonstrate.
The rapid development of SLBM technology is puzzling to some defense experts. Chun says that's because North Korea does not currently have a functional submarine capable of shooting ballistic missiles.
What we know for sure is that North Korea is continuing with its nuclear program now to include a submarine-launched ballistic missile with nuclear warheads. And with that capability, they will either have a strike capability or to intimidate the United States in its policies towards the Korean Peninsula.
But it is not clear how close North Korea is to deploying even a single nuclear-capable submarine, much less a fleet of submarines that could threaten the U.S. mainland. Instead, some say the North could soon test the massive intercontinental ballistic missile it unveiled at its October parade. Bill Gallo, VOA News, Seoul.
Much more on this story can be found by following our Twitter stream at VOA Asia. We're also on Facebook at VOA Asia. Also stop by our voanews.com website. These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. Death toll from Indonesia earthquake rises to at least 84. Heir to South Korea's Samsung conglomerate receives second prison sentence. Undeterred by U.S. sanctions, China expected to continue development in disputed Asian Sea. Pakistan arrests suspected Islamic State fundraiser. Chinese economy rebounds from early coronavirus pandemic pall. Expanded coverage of these stories and so much more are found daily on Facebook at VOA Asia. We invite you to also stop by the voanews.com website. We continue with VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Turkey has been providing refuge for Uyghurs fleeing Chinese persecution. However, rights groups are worried that Turkey's parliament is poised to pass an extradition treaty with China. As Dorian Jones reports from Istanbul, this has also alarmed the Uyghur community in Turkey.
Every day, Medina Nazimi demonstrates with fellow Uyghurs outside Istanbul's Chinese consulate to protest a crackdown against the predominantly Muslim minority in China.
I haven't received any news from my sister for 4 years. I had heard she was taken into a detention camp by the Chinese government but released after 2 years. But then, in 2019, she was arrested again on charges of separatism because she had studied at the university in Turkey.
For decades, Turkey has offered asylum to Uyghur refugees, including some wanted by China because they've been accused of terrorism. With the Turkish parliament considering an extradition agreement with China, human rights groups warn the safe haven in Turkey could be threatened.
If this is approved in the parliament, we will be accepting a legal document that would put us into the position of being under obligation to extradite people to China without confirming if they committed a crime or not.
The extradition agreement comes amid deepening Turkish-Chinese economic and financial ties. China is also Turkey's leading supplier of COVID-19 vaccines. A delay in delivering vaccines was interpreted by some in Turkey as a prod by Beijing to press the Turkish parliament to expedite ratifying the extradition agreement. Alarmed, one Uyghur leader made an appeal on social media to Turkish society for support. Seyit Tümtürk told VOA there's been a positive response.
There have been very positive reactions that made us happy. Our Turkish brothers went to the homes of the Uyghur neighbors and said, "This law will not pass in Turkey. We are here for you. If they pass it, they can extradite all of us to China with you." Can there be a more supportive reaction?
Turkish Foreign Minister Mevlut Çavuşoğlu, perhaps mindful of strong backing for the Uyghur community among government supporters, has pledged no Uyghurs will be extradited to China. But such promises are doing little to abate Uyghur fears.
Because of the increase in economic and technological relations with China, I don't believe that Turkey is offering open support to Uyghurs anymore.
Until now, Turkey has been one of the strongest backers of the Uyghurs. But the fear among many Uyghurs is that pragmatism will usurp principle. Dorian Jones, VOA News, Istanbul.
Happening now in Asia, a second rescue hole was drilled at the explosion site of a gold mine in East China, Shandong Province, where 22 workers have been trapped. Messages retrieved from the first hole drilled said at least 12 workers are still alive. Stay up to date with VOA and VOA 60. This is VOA Asia. It's nice to have you with us today on VOA Asia. Thanks for stopping by. Pakistan is concluding its Phase 3 human trials of a Chinese company's coronavirus vaccine. As VOA's Aisha Tanzim reports from Islamabad, health officials say testing of the CanSino Bio's vaccine shows promise.
Nearly 4 months after it started, Pakistan is wrapping up the Phase 3 trial of a COVID-19 vaccine developed by a Chinese company. Nearly 17,000 volunteers have already been given a shot in the arm. But it hasn't been easy convincing people in a country where many are prone to conspiracy theories. In the earlier days, many believed doctors were injecting people with the novel coronavirus. Equally outlandish theories surround the vaccine. Then there are concerns about its long-term impact.
I thank the God that saved us so far will continue to protect us. I don't think we should get vaccinated. We don't know what is in it and what the long-term effects are.
Pakistan is one of 7 countries participating in the trials. Data will be evaluated by Dalhousie University in Canada. Locally, doctors seem happy with what they see.
So far, we haven't seen any serious vaccine-related side effects. There have been minor symptoms like fever or body aches for a day or two, but those were expected.
China has already approved the CanSino Bio vaccine for emergency use for its own military. The vaccine maker hopes for a quick approval for international disbursement. Meanwhile, Pakistan's cabinet has already approved purchase of 1.2 million doses of a different Chinese vaccine, Sinopharm. It has also allowed private hospitals to import any internationally approved vaccine.
We cannot rely on one vaccine alone. We may have to buy 2 or 3 different ones. The vaccine makers have limited manufacturing capacity and they have to cater to multiple countries.
Health officials say vaccines from companies like Pfizer and Moderna are impractical in Pakistan. The country does not have the resources to create and maintain the cold chain required for the two. The Pfizer vaccine requires storage at negative 70 degrees centigrade, the Moderna one at negative 20. Even with the import of multiple vaccines, it may take Pakistan up to 2 years to vaccinate a majority of its population. Aisha Tanzeem, VOA News, Islamabad.
VOA Asia Facebook is the choice of millions to see and read the latest stories about Asia and the United States. Follow us on VOA Asia Facebook and say hello anytime you're online or on your smartphone. VOA Asia is also on Twitter and YouTube. Subscribe to all of our platforms for free. See, hear, and read and share all of the latest from VOA Asia anytime.
This news from VOA Asia. Japan's foreign minister said a recent ruling from the South Korean court to order Japan to financially compensate 12 South Korean women forced to work as sex slaves for Japanese troops during World War II was unthinkable under international law and bilateral relations. More on VOA Asia Twitter, VOA 60, and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. More now on VOA Asia. Turkey has often been described as the gateway between Asia and Europe, and because of its location, millions of refugees have arrived in the country as a way station into their effort to migrate to Europe. Our VOA Turkish correspondents have filed this report on how Afghan refugees are struggling to survive in Istanbul. Bejan Hamdar narrated their report.
More than 450,000 migrants entered Turkey illegally in 2019, according to the country's Directorate of Migration Statistics, a huge increase from 2013. Most of the undocumented migrants over the past 3 years came from Afghanistan. Among them, Bashir Nazeri.
It's difficult to live in Afghanistan. At least we have food to eat here. We are happy in Turkey so far. There's no government in Afghanistan. If Afghanistan had a government, we would not be suffering like this.
Some 47,000 Afghan migrants live in Turkey as of December 2020, according to migration statistics. Many go through hardship and danger trying to reach the country.
It was very difficult for us to come here from Afghanistan. We had to go through Iran with no documents. On the way, most immigrants get stopped by thieves. We had to pay $500 to $600 to continue our route. We risked dying to come here, to work for our parents and family, and to survive.
I came here on foot, crossed Pakistan and Iran. In Afghanistan, there's war. There is no state, no money.
Once in Turkey, finding work is another difficult challenge. Being undocumented, Afghan migrants are limited to only working as day laborers at jobs such as painting, landscaping, or construction. Most say the pay is low and the work hard.
Because there is a war in Afghanistan, we cannot work there. It is also difficult to live here in Turkey. We need money to pay the bills for the water, electricity, gas, rent. And we can't find jobs in winter. There are not too many job opportunities for us here.
For the thousands of undocumented migrants in Turkey, their hope is to have their status legalized with proper work documentation or to find a pathway to Europe. For Hilmi Hacıloğlu and Umut Çolak in Istanbul, Turkey, Bejan Hamdan, VOA News.
This news from VOA Asia. State media reported thousands of Pyongyang citizens and high-ranking officials gathered at Kim Il-sung Square in North Korea for a mass rally pledging to carry out decisions made by the 8th Party Congress. All the big stories come throughout the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. You're listening to VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, January 6, 2021 will be remembered as a day like no other for many, including those who have made the United States their new home. VOA spoke to a few of them in this report by correspondent Mariama Diallo.
When thousands of rioters succeeded in breaking into the U.S. Capitol last week, it was a scene no one had seen in the United States. Sonam Zoksang, originally from Tibet, now owns a small business in Hudson Valley, New York.
I was completely shocked. My heart sank. I was on the verge of tears.
Rioters pushed through Capitol Police, ransacked the building, smashing windows and waving Trump, American, and Confederate flags. Political strategist Amira Woods, originally from Liberia, says it was expected.
In fact, it was 4 years in the making, but many say decades before then. So I think it was not a surprise. What I think shocked us was the level of violence that was targeted at members of Congress. What also was shocking was the level of command structure that was in place.
The armed insurrection left 5 people dead. Vandat Moan, who is originally from Cambodia and is now a nurse in Virginia, sees it differently.
I don't believe it was an attack. I think these mob or these protesters never planned it to be a violent act. But when push comes to shove, it ended up escalating into a trespassing or an intrusion to the Capitol Hill.
Duan Anh La from Vietnam participated in the demonstrations. He's a U.S. Navy veteran and says he condemns the violent acts, but...
We are there to demand the truth. It is impossible for us to accept a certain result when half of the voters are in the limbo of understand what is going on that particular night, November the 3rd.
Election results had been certified by all 50 states, and lawmakers were at the Hill to finalize the certification process on January 6. Mehran Samedar, 34, originally from Eritrea, recently became a U.S. citizen. He says he saw a clear picture.
You know, coming from Africa, it felt as if there was a coup d'etat happening, you know, overtaking of government. You could equate it with domestic terrorism against the foundation of this country. And clearly it felt this was a violation of democracy.
Yet members of the group that took over the Capitol say they had the right to protest U.S. election results.
They don't get to steal it from us. They don't get to tell us we didn't see what we saw.
But Mirai Safi, a special immigrant visa recipient and former interpreter from Afghanistan, says what he saw last Wednesday was horrible, and it has for sure affected his views on American democracy.
We see like the U.S. is spending billions of dollars across the world in different countries and different continents to support the democracy in development, to support the civic education, to support the social rights and all these things. But we found that a lot of work is required inside the United States as well.
Gigi Mei, a Columbia graduate originally from China, says she was shocked, but has also learned a lesson.
Democracy is really fragile and takes a lot of effort, energy, like needs people from all aspects to sustain and protect and practice.
Democratic Party lawmakers and a few Republicans blamed President Trump for inciting the violence, which he denies. In addition to being impeached, Trump has been banned from several social media outlets, which also accuse him of similar things. Some, like David Ah, originally from South Korea, disagree with some of the ways Trump has been treated.
For example, Twitter decided to permanently ban President Trump's Twitter account. First Amendment protects freedom of speech, whether it is true or false, right or wrong. A lot of people do not understand the value of freedom, and it worries me more than those riots.
Bahniti Tosukri, who goes by Tom, was born in the United States. He moved to his home country of Thailand when he was 9 years old, but came back here when he was 15.
And I think the first thing I thought was, you know, I wonder what this group would get away with compared to other protests. And as I started watching it, I started seeing, you know, the response was very different. And it was very disheartening to start seeing the police officers that were supposed to protect just kind of cooperate a lot more with the protesters that appeared to be very violent and agitated. So, you know, it was very shocking.
Some officers are already being investigated for their actions, but many more fought bravely to protect the U.S. Capitol. Mariama Diallo, VOA News, Washington.
A family of four in Brooklyn, New York, has tried to make the most of their time together. And for some 300 days in a row, they've now been posting funny videos of their music rehearsals. Anna Nelson has this story of the Hochman family, narrated by Anna Rice.
I'm Noah.
I'm Joseph.
I am Elisa.
I'm Jason.
We are the Quarantined Quartet.
Months ago, when a strict lockdown was first imposed in New York City, Jason Hochman, trying to entertain his kids and think of something to do in the coming long weeks at home, suggested the family start a band, Quarantined Quartet.
We had an Instagram page for Joseph and Noah that had 50 followers on it. We never really pushed it. So we're like, we're going to change the name to Quarantine Quartet, and we're going to post videos every day. And I was like, yeah, that's great, Jason. That's perfect, because I want to make sure we practice every day. So let's do it. And that's how it started.
So before the pandemic, I would only see the kids maybe anywhere between three times to maybe even one time a week if I had a lot of performances.
When the pandemic started, Noah was 9 and Joseph 11. Inspired by their parents, they knew how to play the guitar, but could only play a few simple tunes.
It took a pandemic for us all to play together.
Once it became clear COVID is not going away soon, the family turned the hobby into a show. They played all around the house, dressing up for holidays, and always remembering to have fun in the process. As time passed, the children were playing better and better, and the quartet's repertoire grew. With that, the Instagram following grew as well.
I really did not expect to be a star. I just thought that we were going to get like about 50 extra followers. Because unexpectedly, we gained over 100,000 followers, which is incredible.
Every 10 days, the family would dress up and give formal online concerts. And suddenly, musicians from all over the world started asking the Hochmans to let them be part of the concerts, from the Congo to Russian Siberia.
The cool thing is that the global connections we're making with just followers and fans, and we get comments from people in all different countries, in Bahrain, in Russia, Iran, Indonesia, Argentina, Brazil, Canada. Yeah.
For the Hochmans, this improvised quartet was not just about whiling away the time. It was about love and creativity, and about freedom, even when there's so little of it.
We really hear each other. We really are able to feel each other in music. And I think it just made us stronger as a family unit, that it's going to be difficult to break us apart. And it just shows a value of family.
This pandemic is awful. I'm kind of grateful at this opportunity that we created together, because now I've been with my children for over 200 days straight. I know that sounds crazy for a lot of parents, but for me, it's been a gift.
Recently, the Hochmans' post was published on Instagram's main page with over 380 million followers, with a caption that read, "A family that plays together slays together." For Anna Nelson in New York, Anna Rice, VOA News.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. You'll find us online at Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube, all under the name VOA Asia. Be sure to join us tomorrow as we get ready for the inauguration of our 46th President of the United States, as Joe Biden and Kamala Harris take the oaths of office for President and Vice President, respectively. And we hope you join us on Thursday for a special inauguration edition of VOA Asia. We'd like to thank our team who brings you this program, our managing editor Diane Gao, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, and Amy Heibels. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a great day ahead. Be safe. Be well.